produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
First Samuel chapter 30, beginning at verse 6. I want to read a few verses, and as we read these verses, they'll be on the screen above me, and for those that are online, it'll be on the screen as you're reading. First Samuel chapter 30, as we continue on this series, First Samuel chapter 30, beginning at verse 6. First Samuel chapter 30, beginning at verse 6. And it reads, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Verse 8 reads, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, God answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Verse 9 says, "So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David," in verse 10, "pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, because they were tired, they were faint, and they couldn't go over the brook Besor." I want to just stop right there as we continue on in this series entitled Pursue. I want us to look at this from a different perspective, because for many of us, we know that David has been stressed. He's been strained. Yeah. We understand David has been going through. And the reason we know this is because the Bible says in verse 6, "David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters." But notice what it says, "David encouraged himself in the Lord." Let me pick up right there as we start. Let me give you this opening statement that hopefully this will help you. David is gifted, but he's losing his grip. Come on. Many of us can identify with this statement that David is gifted, but he's losing his grip. Matter of fact, if this were your sermon, maybe your name would be interchanged with David, where it does not say David. It may say Elliot was gifted, but he's losing his grip. It may say Addie was gifted, but she's losing her grip. It may say something like Luella was gifted, but she's losing her grip. Gregory was gifted, but he's losing his grip. It may say something like this: Cassio was gifted, but he's losing his grip. Have you ever thought about the fact that you can be gifted and still losing grip in life? Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe you can be gifted, talented, and God got his hands on you, but because life handles you such that you lose your grip. That's what happens here. David is gifted, but he's losing his grip. And whenever I'm at the point where it says Elliot is gifted, but he's losing his grip, let me tell you how I handle that, because many of us need to write this down for your prescription. These points are points that came to me on the way in, and I didn't have time to put them upstairs. But I want you to understand, number one, you can draw from the strength of those that are strong.
Talk.
Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. You've got to learn how to draw from the very strength of those that are strong. In other words, you don't have time to be around people that don't have strength to handle you when you're losing your grip. It takes too much energy and strength for you to exhort energy to give away when you are at the point of losing your grip. And David is gifted, but he's losing his grip. First thing I do is I draw from the strength of those that are strong. In other words, I like to keep people, strong people around me that I can draw from their strength. Because if I got a lot of weak people around me, watch this, I won't have anything to draw from. I will continually have to pour out. Okay, that's the first thing, draw from the strength of those that are strong. But then number two, I've got to win for those that are weak.
That's the word.
Let me see if I can make that plain. I got to win for those that are weak. In other words, y'all, there are certain people that may not have the same fortitude and the same faith that I have. So I've got to be on the battlefield, not only for myself, but I've also got to be on the battlefield for those that are weak and worn and weary. Am I talking to anybody in here that knows that you got some worn people that's around you? You got some weary people that are around you, but in your strength, you got to lead them to the win. Is there anybody here that knows that's why you got to keep on going? That's why you got to keep on working. That's why you got to keep on serving. That's why you got to keep on praying, because you got to win for those that are weak. Look at somebody, tell them, I got to win for those that are weak. So David is gifted, but he's losing grip. If you're taking notes, you ought to have that as your first point. And then you ought to have two sub points. Draw from the strength of those that are strong. And then secondly, win for those that are weak. You see, he is losing grip on everything he has been handed and that he's handling. David is losing, he's losing his hope, and he has to encourage himself. That's what he does in verse 6. We discussed that on last week. He encouraged himself. And we talked about on last week, we gave you 5 points on encouraging yourself. You can go back and look at that video. But on this week, I need you to understand that God has given you grace for what you're up against. Notice what David does. David goes, my second major point is, he goes to God who gives him grace. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he encourages himself in the Lord God, but in verse 8 it says, David asked at the Lord saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Notice what he says. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And notice, he's asking God, he's praying to God. And notice, God has given us what we don't deserve, but do need. Ooh, that's good right there. Man, that's real good. Let me hit that again. You got to know God is giving us what we don't deserve, but we do need. In other words, God is giving us grace. In other words, grace is an unmerited favor. You don't deserve grace, but God grants us grace. And that's exactly what he does for David. Even though David has been operating in disobedience, he's been hiding out at the Philistines' camp in chapters 28 and 29. The Bible says in verse 30 that when David asked the Lord, notice he asked, shall I pursue pursue after them, and will I overtake them? God says, pursue. Not only should you pursue, but you're going to overtake them. And then he says, without fail, recover all. Okay, don't mean anything to you, but notice it means everything to me, because I need you to understand that God has given us favor in this fight. Look at somebody shout, God has given us favor.
In this fight.
There are times in your life that you don't understand that God has given you favor in your fight. You ain't got to cuss nobody out.
Come on.
You ain't got to lose a piece of your mind.
Yeah, I need it. Amen.
God has given us favor.
Yeah.
In this fight. Okay, let me see if I can help. It may be some churches and pastors that need help in this. You got to understand that you can be going through a tough time. And I want to be transparent without giving out a whole lot of information. But you can be in a tough time. Watch this. And life is handing it to you. And it's not because God is upset at you. It's because things happen in life.
They do.
Things happen. Look at somebody shout, things happen in life. And y'all, as I've matriculated 23 years here as pastor of the church, I've had a lot of wonderful years, but I've had some bad moments. I've had some bad moments, and I got to own up to it. I had some bad moments. Y'all, everything does not go well for 23 years.
Amen.
You're going to have some highs and some lows. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. And for anybody to think that after 23 years in pastoring that you're going to have nothing but highs and no lows, you better not get into this thing, because you're going to have some low moments. You're going to have some times that people going to walk away from you. You're going to have some times that people don't want to hear you. You're going to have some times that people don't want to be bothered with you. But you got to keep on walking with the Lord, because God knows how to give you strength along the journey. And y'all, I'm talking to some pastor right now that may be watching me, that they're at the point of giving up and giving in. But hold on. You better keep on in the things of God. You better keep preaching the word of God. I know it's tempting to preach another gospel. It's tempting to preach other words. But you better get back into the word of God and preach the word of God. You better get on your knees and pray. You better talk to God like you ain't never talked to him before. You better shut every blind, close every door, and talk to the Lord, because it's you and the Lord that can make it if you trust in him. I'm talking to somebody that's watching me right now and listening right here in the pew and the chair, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I got kids, I got bills, and I got problems. Well, I got a good word for you. All you gotta do is trust in the Lord. When you put your trust and your hope in the Lord, is there anybody here that knows that God will keep you? Look at somebody, shout, God will keep you. He's a keeper. And you got to know that in your low moments, that God is with you. In your high moments, God is with you. In your average level of moments, God is still with you. Is there anybody here that knows that God is with me regardless of where I am? Notice he says, you're in your low moment, David, but here's what I want you to do. Pursue.
Go for it.
Okay. He says, pursue. And so God has given us favor in this fight. All we need is what we have. Man, I hope I'm doing this right. Let me see if I can do it this way. All we need is what we have. Look at somebody, tell them,
all we need
is what we have. In other words, if I don't have it,
I don't need it.
Okay, see, your problem is you think you need to have more in order to make it. But whatever God has given you is what you need to make it. I need to tell somebody that you lost power. Some of us lost power this week, and this is probably like third, fourth, maybe even fifth time in the last 45 days you've lost power. Let me see if I can help you out. So we learned on this week that our building, and I knew this, but I didn't know what it really meant, but I learned on this week. We learned on this week that we got three phases of power to our building. We got what you call three-phase electricity. And I still don't know all of the gist of about it, but I do know that if one phase ain't working of the electricity, you can have lights and no air.
Okay. All right.
I learned that this week. I learned that you can have lights, all the lights are working, but ain't no air.
Ain't no air.
So we in the building. We got lights.
No air.
We ain't got no air. It's hot in here, y'all. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about Tuesday when that storm hit us hard. Mun, Cynthia kept calling. They were like, hey, the lights flickering, this, then third. I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, what in the world is happening? And they said, we got lights, but it's some stuff ain't working. Mm-hmm. So they trying to flick switches, trying to figure out what ain't working. And when I got here, I realized, okay, it's the third phase of the three phases that ain't working. One of them is not working. So we got lights,
no air.
But we got no air.
Yeah.
Let me see. Okay, I used to be that way too, where I didn't understand. Let me see if I can make it clear for y'all. So you got to understand that what God does in strengthening us is he gives us power of the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us. That watch this. All of us may have lights, but you ain't got no air until you got the Spirit of God. And y'all, I learned when Memphis Light, Gas, and Water showed up on Friday, they said to me, they said, hold on. They said, we can't find a problem. I said, no, but it's a problem in here. They said, y'all got lights. I said, but we ain't got no air. It's hot. And he said, well, it must be a problem on y'all side. I said, no, that problem is on your side, and I need you to figure out. He goes over to the meter. He says, oh, you got a phase out. I said, okay, I knew that. I said, I knew that. I figured that. I didn't know what it was, but I knew something was out. Because we got lights. We ain't got no air. Y'all got it? Okay. And so I'm sitting there, and he said, let us call in the Calvary, and we're going to check some lines. And they called in about 12 trucks, and they start flicking switches outside on each of those poles until they found it and hit it. And as soon as they hit it, all you could hear was the air conditioning unit start coming on. And watch this. I discovered on Friday and this week that if you don't have the Holy Spiritual power, you can have lights on, but baby, ain't nobody home. Is there anybody here that knows? But when you get the full power of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God is on you, not only do you have lights, but you got some wind with you. Is there anybody here that knows I got some air with me? Look at somebody, tell them I got some air with me because I got the Spirit of God. And where I was weak, now I'm strong in the power of God. Okay, so notice, all we need is what we have. You don't need a lot of the stuff you trying to amass. You trying to get stuff when you need to get more of God. You can have all the money and not want to spend it. You can have money in the bank and not have an appetite. Your Roth IRA could be brimming. However, you can't sleep in your bed. You better know that all we need is what we have. Okay, the Bible says, notice, in verse 9, David went, he and 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And notice, they got 600 men. David is getting ready to pursue. The Bible says in verse 10, it's no longer 600, but it's 400. Okay, y'all missed it. It went over your head again. You got to understand that no matter who's with you, you still going to do it. Okay, let me throw this out for free. Nothing can stop you but you. Bible says David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 abode behind. They stayed behind because they were faint. I'm in the Bible. Notice what the Bible says. He's got 400 with him. 200 stayed behind. Let me do the arithmetic for you. Percentages. A third stayed behind. Okay. For many of us, I don't know why we focus on who stays behind versus focusing on who's with us. Who is with me is all that matters. 400 go over to help, 200 have no strength. You gotta go regardless of who is with you. See, many of us, we got a bad focus. Shout a bad focus. Many of us, we stay focused on the 200 that's tired. And the whole time we're supposed to be pursuing, we sitting there pouting. Stop pouting when you need to be pursuing. Okay. You sitting up pouting about they stayed at home. I don't understand. I don't understand. Look at everybody that showed up. You can't focus on folk that stayed at home. You can't focus on who didn't come to your party. You can't focus on who ain't celebrating you. You got a whole group there that's celebrating you. Is there anybody here that knows? You better change your focus. Look at somebody, tell them change your focus. What if you focus on the 400 with you? You see, if you focus on the 400, you can have victory. Okay, let me give it to you this way, and I'm getting ready to wrap it up. We will not get what God has for us by playing it safe. I gave you that for free. Number one, listen for his word. When God gives you a word, that's all you need. So you won't get what God has for you by playing it safe. So listen for his word. Y'all listen, if I had waited till all conditions were right to start the Land Academy, would have never happened. If I would have waited till all conditions were right to start Promise Cares, it would have never happened. If I would have waited, let me stop right there. You got to understand, you can't wait till all conditions are right. You just need conditions to be favorable. Look at somebody shout, I just need them to be favorable. You know what conditions favorable means? Conditions favorable mean it ain't happened yet, but all the ingredients are there. In other words, all I need is for the conditions to be right for it to happen. It ain't got to be right. It's just got to have the conditions right. Is there anybody here that knows I just need conditions favorable? Because if conditions are favorable, it's going to happen. So I'm listening for his word. But here's something else. David was not scared to fail. Many of us falter because we're scared to fail. What if you succeed? Well, I don't want to go to school. I'm scared. Why? I'm older. You ain't the first one that's been old going to school. Get your old cell phone in class. Amen. But Pastor, I have mental blockages. You ain't the first one that had problems reading. Amen. Others have had the same issue. You just got to work a little bit harder. But Pastor, the doctor said, I might die. But what if you live? Don't focus on death, focus on life. You sitting there crying about everything the doctor said. What the doctor said. You hanging on to what the doctor said. But you got a God that rules heaven and hell. You got a God that
speaks earth and is on top of it, you got to understand he's our creator. Why am I going to cry over what the doctor said?
Okay.
But you don't understand, Pastor. I've been in bad relationships before.
Well, then that means you got experience on bad relationships. One more ain't going to hurt you. Go ahead.
But Pastor, you know, I don't want to get married again. The last marriage I had, you know, it just didn't go well.
Well, if you got married once, twice, three times, one more again ain't going to hurt you.
Stop being scared to fail. Why are we scared? So scared to fail. Well, Pastor, you know, I can't give my tithe in church because, you know, somebody told me that all y'all preachers, all y'all do is this, that, and the third, and I just don't understand.
You ain't giving it to me. You're giving it to God. And if I'm like the other preachers, that ain't got nothing to do with you. That's got to do with God and me. You let God handle me. Because we ain't going to talk about what you like. We ain't going to deal with how low down you are. We ain't going to talk about how many folk you done built out of their money. We ain't going to talk about the stuff you done and how you won't stay focused in your life. So don't talk about me and my preachers. You need to deal with your relationship with God.
Okay. Notice.
He was not scared to fail. David takes 400 men. He realizes, I cannot play it safe.
Okay, look at somebody tell him, you can't play it safe no more. Okay, I'm closing with this. And this is where I need to hang my hat today as I close. David pursued. He's got 400 men. A third of the men stay at home because they were tired. And they go over to the brook of Besor, and they do exactly what God tells them to do, pursue and recover all. That's where I'm ending today. I'm closing with that piece, and I'm going to do it this way. Notice in the cinematic thriller that Denzel Washington is in, you may have seen this movie, Remember the Titans. There's a scene in the movie where Denzel says, and I want to quote this in caption, he says, "We did not come this far to just break down and lose now. I'm a winner, and I'm going to win." And notice Denzel quotes that, or I quote that, because many of us need to know that wherever you are now, you did not come this far on your Christian journey, trusting God, believing in God, having faith in God, coming to church, reading his word, listening to sermons, praying prayers for you to lose right now. I am not going to lose because I've come too far. I'm a winner and I'm going to win. That's all I'm trying to tell somebody, is you need to know you're part of the winning team. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm part of the winning team. I don't know what team you're part of, but I'm part of the winning team. Over here, we celebrate. Over here, we win championships. Over here, we on the number one squad. Is there anybody here that knows that we will not be defeated because God allows us to have win, after another one, after another one, after another one? Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. And we will not be defeated. I don't care what I'm going through. I will not be defeated because I'm a winner and I'm going to win. That's all I want to tell somebody, is that you are a winner and you're going to win. Why don't you grab somebody and let them know, on a hill called Calvary, Jesus died for my sins. But thanks be to God, he got up early Sunday morning because he's a winner and he won. Is there anybody here that knows, because he won, I have
the victory as well. Look at somebody, tell them, I know that's right. And we are winners because of who we are associated with in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.